Hello, we have with us Dr. Anil Rajvanshi, a spiritual engineer who for last 40 years is leading a sustainable life in rural Maharashtra. Let us explore with him his experiences and innovations regarding sustainable living. Good evening, Dr. Rajvanshi.
Thank you, Madhura. It's a really pleasure that you are interviewing me, and I hope through this great forum, podcast, I should be able to tell the viewers, tell the listeners how we have been living for the last 35 to 40 years.
So the first question is, what is the meaning of sustainable life and why is it important?
That's a very deep question, because how do you define a sustainable life? Sustainability means that whatever in a small, very short cycle, you should be able to have the energy and resources which can be recycled so that you don't have to borrow or take from outside. And a simple answer of sustainability is when you have a bank account, then you should run your life only on the interest or the money that you get monthly or whatever it is, rather than dipping into your fixed deposits, etc. So the sustainability only comes when the input and output, they match in a certain time. Now, why is it important? Because you see, the world is going through tremendous crisis. Everybody is now being driven by the greed emotion. And so everybody wants to live a very ostentatious lifestyle. And the media also fuels that. And to give an example, if everybody lives in the lifestyle that average sophisticated Western countries like United States, Scandinavian countries live, then we will require four Earths to sustain it. And that is totally unsustainable and it is not good for the future of the world. And that is why the whole thing of climate change, everything is all driven by unsustainable lifestyle that all of us are leading. It is leading to obesity, it is leading to almost everything which is wrong. And so if we all go back to sustainability, we are not saying that you should go back to poverty. Sustainability can be had, as we have shown in our life for the last 40 years. You can live a very emotionally satisfying, a high quality of life, but sustainable.
Yes, that leads to my next question. What has made your own life sustainable?
So I asked, because being an engineer and also working in renewable energy, I got my PhD in solar energy way back in 1979 at University of Florida. And I felt that in what way can I make my life sustainable, so that the energy requirement that I, energy requirement of me and my family can be reduced as much as possible, and without reducing the quality of life. So that is what is sustainable. And then the next question was, after you reduce the energy consumption, can you have from renewable energies that lifestyle maintained, which means you do not require anything else. Now that second part has been still a difficult process and a work in progress, but we have been able to reduce our energy consumption, and I have shown that in 1/4 or 1/5 the amount of energy that an average American consumes, we live a very, very good lifestyle with much emotionally satisfying. And that has been, I think, our focus. And it makes the life simple also. because when you start living simply, you also do that because you practice spirituality, because spirituality allows you the wisdom to put a upper limit on the energy consumption that you make.
Do you think something else can be done in your life to make it even more sustainable? You said that you were working on something.
I do not know. Naturally, as you grow older, and I am now 74 years old, you obviously have much less energy consumption. You eat less. You have you travel less. So this all obviously goes towards sustainability. And with the modern technology that we have around at our disposal, and we are using this technology right now as I am talking to you, is through the internet and through the computers and everything, that you can really utilize much less energy to reach the high quality of thought. In fact, I plotted a graph long ago, almost in early late 1980s, where I showed that the quality of thought and the energy consumption, and for people like Buddha, Gandhi, Christ, etc., the quality of thought was very high as compared to the energy consumption, whereas modern very consumptive lifestyle that a lot of people in Hollywood, Bollywood, and other people who lead is they require a huge amount of energy for very poor quality of thought. The basic thing is that if you go deeper into yourself, and that is a start of spirituality, you just ask yourself, after all, what is my goal? And if the goal is to do good work, great thinking, then you do not require too much of other things. For example, you'll always wear one shirt, one pant. What is the need to have 200 shirts, 200 pants? You'll always drive one car to take you from point A to point B. What is the point of having 10 cars, and that too also Rolls Royce here, there? In India, the quality of roads are really bad. They're full of potholes. So whether you are driving a Rolls Royce or a simple Maruti that I drive, you will not go more than 25, 30, 40 kilometers per hour. So the whole purpose is defeated. And I think when you start looking at it from a deeper point of view, then you realize that the futility of all these things, and probably they come because of the fear, because you want to impress, you want to tell people you have arrived. And that is a wrong way of attacking the sustainability question, and there's a wrong way for the world to go forward. But that is how the whole media feeds on the insecurity, that if you will not have this, then what will people say? You should not think about what people say. You should think about what you feel and think.
That's a great thought. Earlier you said that sustainability is not going back to poverty. Can you tell us some of the examples that you have done in your life which makes your life comfortable as well as sustainable?
I have written a very big article on this, how I live sustainably, and in this podcast I am writing the link to that article, and which you can read and see how we live. But to give you some simple examples, when I came from United States, we bought a piece of land which was totally barren, and the first thing we did was to plant trees. And this was a very God-forsaken place. At night we used to get jackals, we used to get a lot of, you know, we still is a it was outside Fulton town, and naturally the Fulton town has become much bigger. So we are now getting more and more into the center part of it. But at that time, it was a totally barren place, and there was no trees, etc. So we planted the trees. And if you don't, you know, you don't do violence to the nature, nature takes care of itself. And so we just planted trees. There was hardly any water. We gave water by just from the canal by buckets, etc. But once the roots got established, the whole garden today, 2 acres that we have and that we live in, is like a tropical forest. So it's a very powerful message, and that is the first sign of sustainability. So that is what we did. Then we built a house, because Fulton has a very good climate, but during summer it gets very hot, sometimes touching 44-45 degrees Celsius, and but dry. And so I built the house with a very thick walls, 16 inches thick walls, stone and bricks. And then most of the heat energy in any house comes from the roof, almost 80%. So on the roof I put gunny sacks, put them, sprayed them 2 times a day with water, and that evaporating water cooled the gunny sacks. And when the cool air from the roof came down, the whole house became almost like air conditioned. The thick walls with windows closed during the summer, and so the outside temperatures around 45-44 degrees Celsius, and inside are cool 28-29 degrees Celsius. The interesting part is that this air conditioning costs 1/10 the cost and the energy of the regular air conditioning, and with hardly any electricity. So these are the simple things that we did to make our life simple and sustainable. And then you have all the computers and etc., so you can be connected to the world, see what the world is doing, and yet have a very comfortable lifestyle. In the same way, we try to recycle as much as possible all the things. For example, all the paper that I use is written on both sides. Once that is over, we bring the paper and use it in our water boiler. We have a lot of wood droppings from our trees. So all our hot water requirement is taken care of by this simple hot water boiler. The ash from it goes into our garden as a fertilizer. Whatever we eat, we try to finish everything. We eat quite less. The kitchen waste goes into the compost, where it is composted, and it becomes a nice fertilizer after some time. And the most important thing is that we never waste any food. All the food that is what we eat is also given to our dogs and cats. And the amount of water that we use, we try to use as little as possible. Today there's a very major crisis. And if you use it just for your benefit, then you can reduce your water consumption. For example, when you brush our teeth, we don't have the water running in the taps. We close the tap, and just after you brush the teeth, then you open the tap, do gargles, and that's the end of it. Lot of the water that we use is used by our maids in washing dishes, etc., and they do not have the same quality of thinking regarding water usage as we have. And so this is what happens. Then all in the whole garden, in our at our house, we have drip irrigation. So the amount of water used in for putting water in these trees and plants is also drastically reduced. So in a very little amount of water, we live a very decent lifestyle. As I said, I still, you know, for example, in 1984, I got my first Maruti car, and I drove there for the last till the 5 years ago, when the car, the Maruti people said, you can't get spare parts, we cannot insure this, etc., etc. So I had to give it away. Then we bought another small car, and we drive very little, and so that energy consumption is also there. Then our cooking is done on the LPG that we get from the market. We tried using a very efficient wood stove, but that was too much of a trouble for our people who cook. So the gas really helps. And continuous telling them to use less gas, etc., has improved our cooking efficiency also. So electricity, we try to use as much as possible, as little as possible, the gas and the water. Now, when we do all the calculations, then we find that we have, as I said, around 1/4 to 1/5 of the energy consumption of an average American. We live in a very, very sustainable way and a very emotionally satisfying way.
These are very simple yet great examples and ideas that you told. But do you think that living in a rural area makes it easier for you to lead a sustainable life? And how can people in big cities live sustainably?
Yes, that is true. Because, this has to do a lot with the planning. When I came, we built this house, etc. Right from beginning, we thought about sustainability. Now, when you go in a big city, all around you are unsustainable things happening. But yet, you can live a sustainable life by actively and very positively looking at things, the energy consumption, the trying to recycle things, trying to save energy. And one can do that. For example, if you have to go 1 kilometer, etc., think about, can you just walk? Because in big cities, cycling and etc. is quite dangerous. The traffic is pretty bad. So think about walking. Walking is very good for the exercise. At the same time, it you walk and think. A lot of my thinking has come from long walks. The only thing is in big cities is that you will be inhaling a lot of pollution. And naturally, there's a lot of both noise and air-wise. So that you have to see how to do it. So I feel that if each one of us also becomes sustainable in our life, whether we are living in rural areas or urban areas, then I think the sustainability index of a country can really go quite high.
Great. So this means that first the thought of living sustainably should come to our mind, and then there should be some research and planning, and then everybody on this earth can do it.
Yes, you know, for example, you see around yourself such obscene lifestyles, people living in hundreds of thousands of square meters house, just two of them, with a lot of servants and a lot of things. And in fact, most of that house is basically for the servants and not for you. And you just wonder the world is coming to, because the whole idea is then to just try to impress. See, this whole basis of trying to impress is the start of the greed and the start of the whole unsustainable living. If you look at yourself internally, that what is the most important thing in your life, and then accordingly act, then you will become sustainable and the greed impulse can be reduced.
Thank you. I hope our audience finds your life lessons important, doable, and all of us start living sustainably.
Thank you very much, Madhura. It was a pleasure.